Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Warm welcome to all who are here, whether you are a visitor or a longtime attendee, and a very warm welcome to all who are watching live online via our streaming service through Kemnay Kirk anytime, anywhere, or during our catch-up service during the week or afterwards. Welcome to worship, everyone, on this beautiful spring/summer day. Long may it last. First of all, you'll notice that I am not Reverend Heather Michelson. I'm not nearly that good looking, unfortunately. But Heather sends her love, but we just simply had a change in schedule, and I asked her if it'd be all right if I covered this service instead today. So I'm sorry that you're stuck with me yet again. But it's nice to be back with you after a week in Edinburgh for the 2018 General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, and I'll have more to say about that later. But first, a few intimations at the start of our time together. First of all, just a notification that this Tuesday, we were scheduled originally to have a meeting of the Congregational Board, and that's on the 29th of May, but that has been postponed, and a new date for the meeting of the board will be published at a later date. So if you're on the board, please do make sure you don't show up this Tuesday night because the meeting has been postponed. A reminder about Christian Aid, please hand in your SmartyTube and all other donations by the 24th of June to contribute to our annual drive for Christian Aid. If you are a UK taxpayer, you can gift aid in a Christian Aid envelope from Leslie Mackay. And may I also, because it's been so busy since then, may I express my thanks to all of you who supported in any way the evening service for Christian Aid that we had here in the church with Reverend Sally Foster Fulton, the head of Christian Aid Scotland. It was a very good night. Sally gave a great presentation about the vital ministry of Christian Aid, and we certainly keep her and that organization in our prayers in the time forward. We have an intimation about Loaves and Fishes, wanted an enthusiastic person to manage the Christian coffee shop here in Kemnay. This is a paid position for 20 hours per week, available from the end of August 2018. And the reason why it's becoming available is that our own Mrs. Fiona Lister has been selected by the Church of Scotland for candidacy for Ministry of Word and Sacrament. And Fiona will begin her formal training for that in the autumn. And so we are in the season of transition with Loaves and Fishes, and we certainly wish Fiona every blessing and joy as she goes down the path towards ordained ministry. So please see the rest of the intimation about the kind of candidate we would seek for Loaves and Fishes. Prayerfully consider it. If it sounds like you, please let us know. If it sounds like someone you know, please let them know about it, and we'll move forward together in faith. A reminder that on Saturday, the 16th of June, we'll have a soup and sweet lunch at Loaves and Fishes from the times listed for a £5 entry fee, and all funds raised will support the continued work and ministry of Loaves and Fishes. And finally, I'd like to draw attention to a program, The Living Stones, on Sunday, the 3rd of June, which will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. at Inverurie West Church. This is an information afternoon based on a recent visit to Israel and Palestine by Reverend Rona Cathcart, minister of Inverurie West Church, and others. Come along, hear the stories, meet the living stones, eat the food, and share the experience. This is a free event open to anyone, so that's Sunday, 3rd June, 2 to 4 p.m. at Inverurie West Church. Please mark your diaries if that's of interest to you. Are there any other intimations to share at the start of our time together? With those shared then, let us worship our God through the gift of music as we sing our first song of praise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And during the singing of this song of praise, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you. Let's join together just now in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, and yet all around us now, we bring you our praise and our worship and our thanks for all that you have done for us, for all that you have given us in the past, and all that you will surely continue to bless us with in the days and years to come. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the witness of the people in the past who have translated your word for us to learn from. And we remember our friends Jen and Richard and all the others working today to translate your word so that others may know you too. Continue to bless their work, we pray. We pray as well for Jen and Richard's baby Hannah, and we give you thanks for the joy that she must be to them, and for all babies and the blessing and joy they bring to their families. We pray especially for Jill and Paul Nimmo, giving you thanks for the safe arrival of their son last weekend. We ask your blessing on their family, Lord, at this special and happy time. We bring to you our offerings of our time and of our talents and of our money. May all that we have and all that we give be used for the continuance of your work here and further afield. Help us to recognize our talents and our gifts, Lord, and to use them to their best purpose. Despite our many blessings, we so often get things wrong, Father. We say and we do things that we shouldn't, and we pass up opportunities to do or say something helpful or encouraging. Or we neglect to speak up against an injustice or a wrong when we could add our voice to protest. Forgive us for these times, we pray. We are assured of your forgiveness when we seek it in earnest, and we take reassurance and comfort from that promise. Thank you, Father. We bring all our prayers, as ever, in the strong name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. We continue to worship our God through the gift of music with singing together our next hymn, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
invite our children to come down if they'd like to join me at the steps for a children's talk. Would you like to come down, Victoria? Children of any age are welcome to come down as well. It's nice to see you this morning. How are you two doing? Good. We're here to talk about a very important person in the Bible today. Have you ever heard of a man in the Bible named Peter? You ever heard about Peter before? Sometimes he's called Simon Peter. Sometimes he has a very unusual name called Cephas. He goes by lots of different names, but do you have any guesses who was Peter? Do you have any guesses? You ever heard of him before? Was he one of Jesus' disciples? Yes, he was. Was he even the leader of the disciples, do you think? Yes, he was. So we're talking about Peter today, but in order to understand the story about this man named Peter, we have to go back a little bit to an earlier part in the Bible before Easter. So go back with me a few weeks back. We're hearing the first part of the story about Peter when he denied Jesus. It wasn't Peter's best moment. So we remember that Jesus was arrested by the soldiers before Good Friday, right? And as the story here says, soldiers dragged Jesus through the streets to Jerusalem's leaders, and they put him on trial, and they said, "Are you the Son of God?" they asked. "I am," Jesus said. "Liar," they shouted. "How dare you disrespect God by saying you're his son?" And they whipped him, and they beat him. And when the soldiers came, some of Jesus' disciples, like Peter, were afraid and they ran away. And others hung around to hear what was happening. Peter eventually came back and was warming himself by a fire outside when someone asked him, "Hey, aren't you one of those guys who was with Jesus?" "No," Peter said, "it wasn't me." Another girl asked, "Are you sure? You look like him." "It wasn't me," Peter said. More people came up to Peter. "We're sure you're that guy who was with Jesus." And then Peter said, "I don't know Jesus." He told a lie. "I've never known Jesus." And then the rooster crowed, "Caw-caw!" 3 times, just as Jesus said it would. And Peter ran away, and he cried, and he cried. So when it mattered most, Peter denied he even knew Jesus. But then we know the story of Easter. What happened on Easter Sunday? What happened to Jesus on Easter? He rose from the dead. That's right. And he appeared in front of all of his disciples. Jesus was alive again. His friends had seen him 2 times now. And one evening after this, Peter had said, "I'm going fishing." He and his friends went out in a boat at night to go fishing. And all night long, they threw out their big nets and they pulled the nets back in. But there were no fish. This was after Easter, remember. They did this all night, still no fish. The sun began to rise, and Peter could see someone waving to him on the shore. And the man called out, "Did you catch any fish?" "No," Peter shouted back. Then the man said, "Try putting your fishing net on the other side of the boat. I'll bet you find some there." The men did, and suddenly their nets were filled with fish. You see all the fish in the net right there. And suddenly John said to Peter, "It's Jesus." When Peter heard this, he was amazed, and he jumped out of the boat, and he swam all the way back to shore. He wanted to go and see Jesus, but everyone else rowed the boats back to shore, dragging the heavy nets full of fish. And when they got to the shore, Jesus had fish and bread ready, and he cooked it for them to eat. Now, up until now, Peter and Jesus hadn't spoken much. Remember that Peter denied he even knew Jesus. How do you think Peter felt seeing Jesus? Was he a little nervous to talk to him after saying he didn't even know him? I would be, personally. He was worried about how Jesus would respond to what he had said when he said, "I didn't know him." And so eventually, we see Jesus and Peter there, walking hand in hand. Jesus talked to Peter. It was before Jesus died. Peter had told people he did not know Jesus. He even said he'd never met Jesus before. This was Jesus' friend who had said these things. But Peter had been very sorry for his words. And Jesus wanted Peter to know that he wasn't mad at him. He wanted him to know that he was forgiven. And so Jesus told Peter about his good plans for him. Jesus told Peter, "You need to be like a shepherd. Help people learn about me and follow me." Does Jesus look angry or happy?
Happy.
He's very happy to be with his friend Peter. He told Peter this three times to teach others about him. Jesus still loved Peter. So even though Peter said three times, "I don't know who Jesus is, I'm not his friend, I've never been with him," even though he lied three times, did Jesus stop loving Peter? No, he kept on loving him no matter what, and he told Peter that. And you know what? Even when we do things that are wrong, even when we feel sorry for what we've done, Jesus still loves us too. And just like he did with Peter, all we have to do when we do something wrong is to tell Jesus we're sorry, and Jesus will be happy to see us because he still loves us too. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for loving each of us so much. Thank you for the blessing of every child that comes through this church. Thank you for Victoria, for Annabelle, for all the other children. May your blessing be upon them this day and always. Help each of us know just how much you love us. Help us to know we can always come back to you because you will always forgive us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Go back to your seats now. We continue now in worship together with singing our next song of praise, From the Breaking of the Dawn.
I will stand on every thought.
Sorry about that. Right, today's Bible reading is taken from John chapter 21, and it's verses 1 to 19, and you'll find this in page 1090 if you have an under-the-seat Bible, sometimes called the Pew Bible. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciple by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, you haven't any fish." "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did this, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many in the net, it was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, and gave it to them, and said the same with fish, and did the same with fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus was asking him a third time. "Do you not love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said, this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. He then said to him, "Follow me." May we understand through the Spirit the true meaning of all that was said there.
Thank you, Jim. We continue now in worship with singing our next hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may each of us here be truly nourished by the power of your living word. In this time, may you speak to each of us clearly through the power of your Spirit. May you help each of us to know you, to walk with you, to love you more and more. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Come and have breakfast. I'm not sure if there are any sweeter words in our English language. Raise your hand if you love breakfast. Oh, yes. I have a confession. In my younger years, not that old yet, I guess, but in my younger years, like many adolescents, I, as a teenager, did not place a high priority on eating breakfast. Afternoon and evening meals were an entirely different matter. Sometimes it was all my poor parents could do to make sure that I ate something in the morning before heading off to school. And I quickly learned from them that candy bars and fizzy drinks were not a proper breakfast. But my argument against having breakfast was that I simply wasn't hungry when I woke up in the morning. So why should I eat? Still, my parents knew better, and they did everything in their power to make sure I had the necessary fuel for my morning lessons to have any impact at all on my sleep-fogged brain. And as I grew older, I must admit that my resistance to having breakfast completely changed. Nowadays, I will say that my ability to function is seriously imperiled if I do not break my fast with a morning meal, accompanied by the other water of life, coffee. Lest you get any wrong ideas about what your minister does. As individuals who worked in the fishing industry of their time, by all accounts, a physically demanding enterprise, the first disciples would have readily understood the importance of a good breakfast at the start of each day. Here in Aberdeenshire, what are the things that go on a traditional Scottish breakfast? Name some of them. Mm-hmm. Yep, keep going. Yep. What else? Yep, I'm hearing lots of different answers about, can we agree that a good Scottish breakfast is a hearty meal? And it is so for a reason as well, to sustain people as they went to work in farming professions for a long morning of work. They had to stay fueled up. And it was the same for these early fishermen, these first disciples of Jesus. And also as fishermen, we can guess that their morning cuisine consisted of, thank you, it's not a trick question, I assure you. So in the text we heard today, the story begins by setting the stage for Jesus' appearance to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, in verse 1. And in verse 2, we are told that seven of the disciples are gathered together. We don't know about the other four. We will, of course, remember that Judas, by this time, was out of the picture. So in verse 3, as they're gathered together, Peter declared, I am going fishing. I am going fishing. And in one sense, this was the most natural thing in the world for Peter, the fisherman, to say. Perhaps he said it because the pantry was empty. There was nothing on hand for breakfast the next day. Perhaps he was tired of thinking about the recent whirlwind of events, of the trial, the crucifixion, of running to the tomb with John only to find that tomb empty, and then two dramatic appearances by Jesus in front of his disciples, one in which he breathed on them told them about the Holy Spirit, and the other one in which he invited Thomas to touch his wounds and invited him to believe. We don't know for sure what Peter felt or thought during those first two appearances. Perhaps he was in a state of total awe. Perhaps he wondered if his mind was playing tricks on him. Or perhaps his mind went back to that fateful night when Jesus was arrested, when Jesus rightly predicted that Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. Maybe it was a mixture of all these things and more. Still, if Peter was anything like us, and I'm hard-pressed to think of a better everyman than Peter, I think it's safe to say that seeing Jesus again would have made Peter feel some measure of shame, apprehension, worry about how he had denied Jesus when Jesus needed him most. It's a hard thing. I know from my own life experience, maybe you do too, it's a hard thing to come face to face with someone who we have wronged. During these first two times that Jesus appeared to his disciples, John's gospel doesn't tell us anything at all about how Jesus and Peter would have interacted with each other. In fact, we don't know much about any of his personal interactions with any of his disciples apart from what he said to Thomas. During these first two appearances, perhaps all of the disciples, along with Peter, were filled with awe, bemusement, and maybe a sense of shame about how they too had turned away from Jesus in the garden. We can't know for certain, and I think the text is purposely vague, because I think each of us in this text is invited to put ourselves in the shoes, or perhaps the sandals, of the disciples, and to ponder how we would have responded to seeing Jesus risen again. How would we have reacted? It was after these first two appearances that Peter said, "I'm going fishing." Perhaps this is his way of saying, "I need to clear my head." Perhaps he needed time to process everything he had experienced. Perhaps he was completely overwhelmed and just went on mental autopilot and did the first thing that came to his mind. Or, despite everything that had happened, perhaps part of Peter still couldn't believe. Or maybe even he didn't want to believe. Because if Jesus was truly risen, then Peter would have to confront the truth of his own failing in Gethsemane, in the courtyard of the high priest, when he denied him three times. By saying, "I'm going fishing," maybe Peter was trying to go back to the life he knew before he first encountered Jesus. Maybe after everything he had been through, perhaps Peter thought that going fishing would give him the chance to pick up the broken pieces of his life and start again. Sometimes when life has thrown us for a loop, when we don't know up from down, we crave nothing more than a sense of normalcy, predictability. We crave stability, routine, comfort. I very much like to be in control. I think it's safe to say that Peter and the first disciples were no different. Remember that when they heard he was going fishing, they replied, "We'll go with you. We want routine too. We want normalcy too. We're not sure what to make of what we have seen either." So they went fishing, perhaps hovering between belief and disbelief. The text tells us they went fishing at night, when the fish were near the surface, perhaps easier to catch. But we're also told in the text they didn't have much success at all. Not a good result for experienced fishermen. And then we come to verse 5. After they realize they've come up pretty much empty, they get a question from Jesus. Do you have any fish? But he addressed them in an unusual way. He didn't say, my disciples, do you have any fish? The original word in the Greek is little children. Do you have any fish? That's an interesting form of address. They did not recognize Jesus. When they said no, he told them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And John is very particular in his recording here about the number caught. And it's not one of those fish stores that it was this big, I promise. They caught 153 fish, a massive amount of fish. And when that happened, at once the disciples knew with whom they were speaking. Verse 7, it is the Lord. And they approached Jesus, bringing some of the fish as he asked. And our text tells us they didn't dare ask him any questions. And the fact they didn't speak to him gives weight to the idea that they were still apprehensive, even after the first two appearances. And in response to their apprehension, Jesus issued what might seem like a simple invitation. Come and have breakfast, he said. But this was much more than just a mere invitation. Then and now, the act of sharing a meal with others was and is an intimate act. Have you ever thought about eating in that way, that eating is an intimate act with other people? And it's an awful shame that in our time, the word intimacy has become hyper-sexualized. It's so much more than that. Back in the early centuries, in the time of Jesus, it was impossible to sit down and to share a meal while at the same time holding on to one's weapon, to one's defense. So sharing a meal meant, by definition, letting down one's guard. Sitting at table with another is a way of saying, I trust you with my life. I share everything that I am with you. And I ask for the same trust and confidence in return. Come and have breakfast. By sharing a meal with them, Jesus recreated full fellowship with his fearful disciples. And our text tells us that Jesus shared breakfast with his disciples just as day was breaking. That's what the text says. And by sharing this meal with his disciples, Jesus made a new day break in their lives. Gone then was their apprehension. Gone was their fear. Gone was their crushing doubt. And even though his disciples had failed in spectacular fashion before Easter, Jesus still reached out in grace and love to his followers. Even the worst betrayal was met by unconditional love. And just like those first disciples, each of us here is less than perfect. At least I am. Perhaps each of us here in some form has tasted the bitterness of struggle, of doubt, of fear, of regret. Perhaps each of us here has wondered if God somehow finds us lacking. Perhaps some of us are consumed with worry about what might be coming next, and we wonder if God will give us what we need to face what will come our way. If any of this resonates with you, does with me, then I want us to remember John 21, 12. 2:1, 1:2. Come and have breakfast. Remember this gracious invitation. And remember that no matter what has come before, every day God is inviting each of us back into relationship with him. Every day, every new day, God is giving us again the gift of his Holy Spirit, which is what we need to grow in relationship with him and with others. Come and have breakfast. Jesus stands ready to meet us in our lives, whether our lives are calm, whether our lives are chaotic. Jesus is ready to meet us where we are, how we are, even before we ask. As many of you know, or maybe you don't, I just returned from the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. It was my first time as a commissioner, and while it was not strictly a holiday, I think Anne, you would agree with that. Anne was down as a commissioner as well. It was still a meaningful and overall an enjoyable experience, apart from one or two somewhat laborious sessions, if we're being honest. Is that fair to say, Anne? She's nodding and smiling. Yes. And for those who don't know, the General Assembly is the highest ruling court in the Church of Scotland. So we have congregations of sessions, we have presbytery, then we have the General Assembly. As I said, it's my first time going. And during the week of proceedings, chock full of meetings every day, it was clear that it's no secret at all that the Kirk is facing its fair share of challenges these days. We are a Kirk that is divided over matters of theology, matters of structure, matters of vision. And I don't want to make any Scottish jokes here, but it's very easy to focus on the negatives, because it's the negatives which generate the best headlines in the media. But I came away from General Assembly amazed by all the tremendous and very underreported good that is being done by the church, both here at home in Scotland and abroad as well. And despite our struggles, and I will never minimize those struggles, it is clear that the Holy Spirit is very much at work here in Scotland, inside and outside of the Kirk. One of the personal highlights for me of being present at this last General Assembly was marking 50 years since the church allowed the ordination of women. It was a remarkable celebration. And I can't remember the commissioner's name, but one of the first women to be ordained, each commissioner has a triple-digit number. Mine was 547. That's pretty boring. But one of the ladies stood up, and she went up there and said, "I am Commissioner 007, licensed to preach." And she said, "I've been waiting all General Assembly just to say that." I would have too. And even amidst the struggles that we are facing as a church, this last General Assembly made it clear, on one hand, we are in need of bold, innovative thinking when it comes to the future of Christian faith in Scotland. And judging from many of the people I met at General Assembly, we know that the time is now to effect such change. That we are ready and willing to start a new chapter of faith in this wonderful land. Even now, we have so many people who are so desperately tired of being the Church of Scotland and who instead want to be the church in Scotland. There's a massive difference. And even now, plans are underway. Visions are being created to embrace new forms of ministry, new ways to unleash the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have everything we need as a church to live faithfully into our calling as Christians. We have everything that we need. Even amid our struggles, even amid our uncertainty, even amid our fear, we can take heart because while maybe our buildings may one day disappear, maybe the form of the church will change, the actual church, God's people, rises or falls with Jesus and nothing else. And he will never fall again because he is risen. And it is he who calls to us even now, come and have breakfast. Here in Kemnay, throughout Scotland, Jesus is calling us as his church to true intimacy with him. He is calling us every day to rely on him, to trust in him, to look to him, and to lean on him for the guidance and strength that we need. It's a new day. Come and have breakfast. Thanks be to God. Amen. We see God's love for us in Jesus Christ. We see it in how Jesus meets us right where we are at. Jesus is proof of the depth of the Father's love for us.
Thank you.
Friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we gather together to meet our Lord Jesus at this sacred table. Whether we have carried them for days, weeks, months, or years, our Lord is calling us even now to lay all of our cares on this table. For it is here, together in the sharing of the bread and of the cup, that we receive true nourishment for our journey as disciples of Jesus Christ. It is here that we receive the courage and renewed faith in the good news of the gospel. And this table does not belong to Kemnay Parish Church. It does not belong to the Church of Scotland. This table belongs to Jesus Christ and Him alone. And it is He who is calling all who will trust in Him to partake of this feast together. So come and have breakfast. Not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come and have breakfast, not because any goodness of your own gives you the rights, but come because you need the Lord's mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord just a little, but would very much like to love Him more. Come and have breakfast because Jesus loves you and gave Himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are His body. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy as your people to give you our thanks and our praise, and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You laid the foundations of the cosmos. The heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure forever. You are always the same, and your time will never end. We believe that you have made each of us in your image. You have called us to be your people. But time and again, we do confess that we have turned from you, leaving sin and death to reign. Still, you loved us and sought us out. In Jesus Christ, your grace defeated death forever and reopened the way to eternal life. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And with the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by the Lord Jesus, we join our voices together in prayer, saying the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom,
the power and the glory forever and ever.
Come and have breakfast. This is the body of Christ, broken for us. Do this in remembrance of him.
Thank you.
this cup is the new and eternal covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is shed
that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace. Sociable bunch. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to our prayers for the world. Let us pray. O Lord our God, source of all goodness and love, accept the fervent prayers of your people that we bring today. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of our souls. Living God, deliver us from a world without justice and from a future without mercy. In your mercy, establish justice. And in your justice, remember the mercy revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, we pray that you will govern the hearts and minds of those in ruling authority. We pray that you will bring the families of all the nations, divided and torn apart, into wholeness and healing, to make all of us subject to the just and gentle rule of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all goodness, generosity, and love. We thank you for opening the hearts of many towards those who are refugees, who are fleeing for their lives from disasters natural and human-made. Help us, we pray, now to open our arms in welcome and reach out our hands in support to all who are in need, those local to us and those who are far away. Through your grace, we pray that the desperate may find new hope, and lives that are torn apart may be restored. God of all compassion, your love for humanity is revealed to us in Jesus, whose own earthly life began in the poverty of a stable and ended in the pain and isolation of the cross. We hold before you now those who are homeless and cold, especially those who must endure bitter conditions. Draw near and comfort them in spirit, we pray, and bless those who strive to provide them with life's necessities of shelter, food, and friendship. God of all love, show us our place in this world as channels of your love for all the creatures of this earth, for not one of them is ever forgotten in your sight. Enlighten those who possess power and money in our society that they may avoid the sin of indifference, that we all may love the common good, that we may strive to advance and protect the weak and care for this world in which we live. O Lord, seize each of us with your power and with your light. Help us to protect all life, to prepare for the future that you are bringing, for the coming of your kingdom of justice, peace, love, and beauty. All honor and praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know of a better hymn that captures the essence of the gospel than the one we close our worship with today. Great is thy faithfulness. Even now, Jesus is calling to each of us to come and have breakfast. Come and be in relationship with him. Come and be renewed by God's grace, love, and mercy. Be renewed and then go forth from this place into our lives and share the good news of Jesus' love with all who we meet. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the risen Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.